What's up, everyone? I'm Louise Hazel, Olympian, gold medal winning heptathlete and CEO of Slay. I'm so excited to be here with you as part of the Slay Masterclass series to help you to unleash your physical strength so that you can future-proof your body and transform your life. As a heptathlete, I needed a variety of strength training to support the multitude of events that I would compete in. I'm going to draw upon my years of experience, successes and failures to help fill in the gaps in your knowledge and debunk the myths surrounding strength training. It doesn't matter whether you've never trained strength before or you've been training for a while. The chances are that you've never had somebody break down the fundamentals for you. We're going to do that today, so grab a pen and some paper, make some notes, because you're about to learn how to get a hell of a lot stronger. In this masterclass, I'm going to teach you how to develop physical strength like we do for our clients at Slay, our gym in Hollywood. But the most important lesson that you'll learn is that strength training won't necessarily make you big, but it will make you better. When you're developing physical strength, you need three basic things: specificity, progression, and recovery. Together, we'll identify what type of strength training is right for you. You'll discover the importance of progression and how to optimize your recovery to maximize your results. By the end of this masterclass, you'll have a better understanding of why strength training is so beneficial, why we women should all be doing it, and how you're going to use your strength to achieve the results you've always wanted. To start us off, we're going to identify what type of strength training is right for you. When it comes to strength training, specificity is key. At Slay, our clients desire specific health or aesthetic outcomes, and we aim to get them the results that they want in the healthiest way possible, and in a way that brings about sustainable and more long-term results. Often for us women, there's a huge disconnect between the body that we want and the way that we train. So as your coach, it's my job to help you to bridge the gap. The biggest challenge that I experience when introducing female clients to strength training is fear. Most of the women that I meet at Slay have avoided strength training altogether. And the number one thing that I hear when I introduce dumbbells for the first time is, I don't want to get too big. Most of us women are scared of getting bulky. Now, when we women think of strength training, for some reason, we think of one thing and one thing only, depending on when you were born. We're either going to walk out of this gym looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger or The Rock. The media has a lot to answer for our warped understanding of what it means to be physically strong, because the reality couldn't be further from the truth. Firstly, the science. The amount of testosterone found in a woman's body is only 5 to 10% of the average man. Testosterone helps to increase muscle size and rises considerably in men after they've engaged in resistance training, whereas there's very little change in the testosterone levels in women, meaning that while we women can make considerable improvements in strength as a result of resistance training, it's much, much harder for us to increase muscle size without purposeful training, eating, supplementation, and consideration. To put it simply, it's really hard for us to get really, really jacked by lifting weights unless we're specifically training for it. I'm here to teach you that there's so much more to strength training than lifting heavy weights. And if you don't understand that by now, then that's okay. It's not your fault. Maybe you've only been exposed to one way of strength training, or maybe your understanding has been shaped by the fitness industry, TV, film, or social media. The important thing is that you're here now and that you're curious. It's not a question of whether strength training is right for you. I can assure you it absolutely is. It's more a question of what type of strength training is right for you. As women, we shouldn't fear getting big in the gym. What we should actually fear is wasting our time in the gym. Often, our methods of strength training are completely out of alignment with our goals. And here's why. We are hugely misinformed when it comes to female strength training and its benefits. The fitness industry has a lot to do with the perpetual cycle of misinformation, because it actually profits off of our insecurities and our ignorance. I'm going to demonstrate the way in which the industry leans into our insecurities to waste our time and our money, and how strength training can provide many of the answers and the results that we're looking for. One of the biggest misconceptions that I face as a trainer and that I see every day in widespread media is the idea that cardio is the best way to burn fat. The fitness industry might leave you thinking that if you want to lose fat, you should focus on the things that burn the most calories. And in a way, you'd be right if you're being specific. cardio typically burns more calories per workout session compared to strength training. But we have to get beyond the thought of how many calories we burn in a single session. Even if you perform cardio training for 1 hour a day, 7 days per week, there are still 168 more hours in the week to account for. When you engage in cardio training, as soon as the oxygen debt has been repaid, i.e. you've caught your breath and the heart rate returns to resting, your calorie burn returns to normal. However, strength training has an impact in the hours immediately following a workout that traditional cardio does not, including an increased calorie burn, sometimes for up to 24 hours post-strength workout, which can be attributed to the energy required to repair and rebuild our muscle fibers. When it comes to fat loss, cardio training burns more calories per workout, but strength training burns more calories every day. When you strength train, your body actually builds lean muscle, and muscle burns more calories at rest than any other tissue in your body because it's an active tissue, unlike fat. In other words, when our body has more muscle, our basal metabolic rate, also known as our metabolism, increases. To break it down for you, this means that if you take two women of the same weight, the one with the most muscle mass will have a higher metabolism. Not only can strength training help you to lose weight, but it can also help you to keep the weight off as a result of that increased metabolism in a way that cardio simply cannot. Therefore, if you're looking for long-term results and improvements in your health and fitness, then strength training is where it's at. Simply put, cardio is not enough. The truth is that misinformation has caused us to waste our time. It's held so many of us back in our quest for stronger, leaner, and healthier physiques. My goal is for your strength training to be more specific so that you can train less and achieve more. Before we move on to the next phase of our journey, I'd like you to write down what you want to achieve from your strength training. And in the next part of the process, which is progression, we'll teach you how to get there. There are many ways to progress your training to create improvements in strength. For example, you could increase the frequency, intensity, or duration of your workouts, or you could change the type of training that you do. But before we go into how to progress your workouts, the first question that we're here to answer is, what type of strength training is right for you? There are multiple ways to train your strength, and today we're going to focus on three different types of strength: relative strength, strength endurance, and absolute strength. It's important that you gain some knowledge into each one so that you can correctly identify which one you need to work on. Imagine a strength pyramid divided into three layers. At the bottom of the pyramid, you'll find relative strength. In the middle, you'll find strength endurance. And at the very top, you'll find absolute strength. Now, let me take the time to explain the importance of each layer. Starting at the bottom of the pyramid, we have relative strength. Relative strength is the strength per unit of body mass produced by an individual under specific conditions. Think of it as being body weight strong, like your ability to do a push-up or a pull-up. Gymnasts have excellent relative body strength. If you have good relative body strength, then performing bodyweight exercises like squats and lunges should be fairly straightforward for you. Think of relative strength as the foundation of your strength pyramid. In order to reach the upper layers of strength, the foundation must be strong enough to withstand the pressure and the load and the forces that we placed upon it. If not, the pyramid may crumble and injury may occur. Relative strength is the most broad and basic layer of the pyramid. And we ladies are neither broad nor basic. It's okay for us to start our journeys here, but we don't want to live here. Save us a seat at the top of a pyramid because we're on our way up. Next up is our middle layer, strength endurance. Strength endurance is our ability to produce and sustain purposeful movement for an extended period of time. For example, Pilates is an excellent example of strength endurance. Practically any exercise that involves light resistance for a decent amount of repetitions, typically 20 or more, would be considered strength endurance. Think of strength endurance as the middle part of your pyramid that bridges the gap from relative strength to absolute strength, where your highest strength potential lies. If you have good strength endurance, then you'll find exercises like glute bridges an absolute breeze. The great thing about strength endurance is that you can achieve a lot of functional strength here, which will help you go about your daily activities like climbing the stairs. However, if you want to reach the absolute maximum of your human potential, you're gonna have to step it up a notch. Lastly, we have the tip of our strength pyramid, our absolute strength. Absolute strength is expressed as the total amount of weight that you can lift with one single repetition of an exercise. It's also known as your one rep maximum. An example of absolute strength would be how much weight you could barbell back squat or how much weight you could bench press. Think of your absolute strength as your ceiling, where your largest strength potential lies. Many women rarely embark on the journey of exploring their absolute strength, mainly through fear and sometimes because of inaccessibility, because it requires equipment and a certain level of expertise. For those of you wanting to achieve life-changing results, then this is where you should focus some of your time. The biggest benefit of absolute strength is that it will improve your relative strength capabilities, meaning that it will raise your foundation and make everything you do that much more effortless, not to mention the transformative effect that it can have on your physique. More tone, more muscle, improved posture, and much, much more. As a female gym owner, it's my mission to continue to create safe spaces where women can explore what their bodies are really capable of. And I encourage you all to aim to cycle through these phases of strength training at least once per year. Most of us, whether we're aware of it or not, dive straight into the middle of our pyramid and center our workouts around strength endurance, bypassing the foundation altogether. In fact, 95% of the women that walk into Slay struggle to do one push-up, yet they could glute bridge all day long. It's important to progress through each stage of the pyramid one step at a time, otherwise chinks in your body armor can occur, leading to dysfunctional movement patterns and even injury. Take a moment now to write down how you exercise and match it up to one of the three types of strength that we mentioned above: relative strength, strength endurance, or absolute strength. Next, I'm going to explain why we women are selling ourselves short when it comes to our strength, and I'm going to teach you how to know when it's time to change your training and how to spot the signs of plateau. These are just some of the tricks that we athletes would use every single day to keep making improvements. Without even knowing it, we women do ourselves a huge disservice when it comes to strength training, opting for equipment that provides low load, like resistance bands, ankle weights, and light dumbbells, and preferring volume of repetitions of 20 reps or more. This is a great way for beginners to strength training to get started on their journeys because the emphasis is on low loading, which is great whilst you're learning to adopt correct movement patterns and reinforce good form and technique. However, the most common mistake we see is that our starting weight is too low to provide enough stimulus to spur any desired adaptations or results. You can curl a bottle of water for like 100 reps, and while it'll likely make your arms super tired, it won't be enough stimulus to help tone your physique. It will be a complete and utter waste of your time. Yet we see this type of exercise pop up on our Instagram feeds every single day, don't we? Well, this is just another example of how the female fitness industry thrives on the notion that lifting heavier weights is somehow dangerous or manly, and that the lower load is safer on the muscles and joints, and therefore much more suitable for us feeble women. But in reality, when it comes to safety, when you're resistance training, what's more important is not how much you lift, but how you lift. The truth is that injuries can occur at any level of the spectrum when good form and posture is compromised, irrespective of load. So whether you're using 10-pound or 100-pound dumbbells, be mindful of how you're training, not how intense you're training. Another common error we see when strength training is not progressing the load or volume of reps often enough, which will leave you in a plateau and halt your progress. You'll know when it's time to increase the load or volume, when the weight or the exercise will no longer feel like a challenge, or it's now easy, and you'll no longer be seeing any results in fitness or physique. If you want to avoid stagnation in your fitness, then you should aim to change your training plan every month. The body typically adjusts to any increase in load, intensity, or duration over the course of around 4 weeks. So in order to get fitter or stronger, changes need to be made regularly. You shouldn't be doing the same sequence of exercises every single day, nor should you be doing random exercises every day if you want to see a measurable improvement in results. So if you're stuck in the strength endurance phase, then it might be time to start increasing the load and decreasing the number of repetitions. A great way to do this is to try 4 sets of 10 reps and aim to lift all 10 repetitions really well. Now, one of the questions that I get asked a lot online is, how do I know how much weight to use? So I appreciate that this can be an extremely tricky thing to figure out, as there's no definitive answer, given that we all have varying levels of strength. What's heavy to me might be light to you and vice versa. So the way I usually get clients to understand what weight they should be using is, number one, you should be able to complete each repetition with correct form and technique. Number two, you should be feeling challenged by the time you hit the last few reps. If not, it's time to increase the load. Number three, always aim for small incremental increases in load. Finally, the last thing I'd like to touch upon regarding strength training and progression is the idea that intensity is the sign of a good workout. The idea that if we're sweating, then it must be working, or if it's burning, then we must be killing it. The type of deep burn that you feel at low level activation, which can be a false indicator that we're working really, really hard. That burning sensation that you feel in your muscles can often be attributed to lactic acid, which usually is remedied by adequate rest periods. However, many of us can spend months training strength endurance without any major result because, as I mentioned before, the body needs regular change and stimulus and load. And if this doesn't happen, then we're just ending up maintaining our plateau. It's really quite simple. In order to get results, you must keep introducing new challenges. And if you can keep meeting those challenges on a consistent basis, then you can transform your whole entire body. Now that you've identified what type of strength training you should be doing and how to know when you're hitting a plateau, it's important for you to understand the secrets that will help you to maximize your results. And those secrets lie in your recovery. Adequate recovery is absolutely crucial to achieving excellent results when developing your strength. Too little recovery can lead to burnout. So it's important to understand the role that recovery has to play in getting you stronger and transforming your physique. We'll focus on two specific types of recovery. The first is how much recovery we take during a workout. The second is how much recovery we take between workouts. When it comes to resting during a training session, I often think that we women have a propensity for hard work. It's almost as though we suffer from exercise anxiety. As soon as we finish with one exercise, we want to go right into the next one without a break. We love the feeling of working hard. This mindset is largely reinforced by grind culture that tells us that in order for a workout to be effective, it must mean we're breathing really hard and leaving puddles of sweat on the floor. While I'm definitely in favor of hard work, I'm more in favor of smart work. Believe it or not, we athletes don't train at 100% all of the time. If we did, our bodies would inevitably break down. We'd probably sustain injury and we'd never be able to reach our full potential. We train with purpose, and you are no different, but somehow you've been led to believe that because you're not an elite athlete, your goals don't matter. I see this regularly in the gym. We have a tendency to shrink ourselves and our achievements. And if we shrink ourselves and our goals and we fail to achieve them, then nobody will notice, right? Well, I'm here to let you know that that's not why you're here. You're here to be big, you're here to be bold, you're here to be brave, and you're here to be strong. And if you fail publicly, then better that than to have never tried at all. You, my friend, are elite already. You've just been training like an amateur. When we're training smart, we're aware of our exercise intensity. We're challenging ourselves daily, and we're in complete control of each movement, our breathing, and our output. At any moment, we could increase or decrease the level of effort. We're working at around 80% of our maximum. This is how we athletes do it. It's how we manage to string day upon day of training, year upon year. It's how we condition ourselves to perform things we never knew were possible. And you can do it too. If we're looking to train for strength, muscle tone, and even weight loss, we actually need rest, sometimes as much as 1 to 3 minutes between exercises or sets. It might seem like taking a few minutes of rest between sets might be a waste of time, but I'm here to tell you the exact opposite. If you don't give yourself adequate recovery when you're strength training, you'll be forced to opt for lighter weights, as your aerobic system will be zapping the energy that you need to produce lots of force. A good rule of thumb is high reps equals less weight and less rest. Low reps equals more weight and more rest. Write that down. This is where things like calorie counters or heart rate monitors can be super misleading. Surely, if you keep moving, you'll burn more calories during the session and close all of your rings. But as we mentioned before, while aerobic exercise helps to burn more calories during the workout, strength training helps you to burn more calories every day. So swapping fat for muscle will increase your metabolism. When you constantly move during your training session, you're actually creating an effect that lends itself more to cardiovascular and aerobic benefits than it does strength training and muscle building. So the rest time is absolutely imperative in allowing you to pick up heavy enough weights that you can stress your body enough and build strength. One common way to keep your strength workout both efficient and effective is to do a lower body exercise, like a squat, for example, and then immediately do an upper body exercise, like a bench press, back to back, and then take 1 minute of complete recovery before coming back for another round. This can allow you to train different muscle groups while still giving you enough rest between your sets to stimulate those muscles. The second type of recovery that you have to be aware of is recovery in between strength training days. If you're wondering how much time to take in between strength training, then it would be ideal if you could take around 24 hours between each workout, i.e. every other day. At Slay, we encourage our clients to do their cardio workouts on these days in between so that their muscles have plenty of time to rest, recover, and adapt. A typical training plan for one of our clients at Slay might look a little bit like this. Total body strength training on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and cardio on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, with a full day of rest on Sunday. This format can actually enable you to stay active throughout the week, working efficiently towards your goals while prioritizing different aspects of your health and fitness every single day. Another way that you can give yourself an adequate recovery between workouts is by doing different body parts on each day. This is typical of bodybuilding, where there's an emphasis on developing muscle size. So maybe you might do legs on a Monday, back on a Tuesday, and chest on a Wednesday. Then repeat this cycle for the second half of the week. That way, your legs get to rest while the other parts of your body are working. If your trainer programs your training like this, then it's likely that your goals will be geared towards absolute strength or hypertrophy, i.e. muscle building. The problem with this is that if you miss a day, you might not work a specific body part for a whole week, which is why I personally prefer total body workouts where possible. One of the biggest mistakes I see with clients is the all or nothing approach to fitness. Usually this cycle starts when a short-term goal is approaching and someone wants to train 7 days a week for the next few weeks. They are all in on seeing results. But what happens quickly is often burnout, where the body and the nervous system are not getting enough time to rest in between bouts of exercise, and fatigue, stress, and an emotional sense of failing can set in. The other end of the spectrum usually follows when someone goes on vacation for 2 to 3 weeks and takes a break from exercise and loses all of the progress that they were making. They do nothing for a while, and letting their body recover transitions to neglecting their body altogether. And the cycle then repeats itself. If this is you, then it's okay, but it's time to do better. If you want long-term sustainable results, then you're going to have to be consistent. Consistent with your training and consistent with your recovery. If you can take one thing away from this masterclass, I want you to know that you're a strong woman already. And so much of being a woman is remembering that without you, nothing runs smoothly. So no more asking for permission to own your own strength. Simply unlock what you've always been.